Hi, good afternoon, everyone. A warm welcome to everyone to the third quarter 2024 earnings call of Mega Life Sciences. We have with us our CEO, Mr. Vivek Dhawan.
Sawasdee, good afternoon. Vivek Dhawan here. Welcome to the call.
We have Mr. Thomas Abraham, CFO of Mega Life Sciences. We have a colleague, Mr. Francis, Senior Vice President, Finance.
Good afternoon.
We have Ms. Sunyantana, Finance Director of Mega Life Sciences.
Sawasdee.
And myself, Manoj Gurbuxani. Today, in the upcoming 1 hour, the way we'll be organizing this call, we'll keep the maximum time for Q&A. But in the initial part, we will provide you an introduction and synopsis of the financial performance of 9 months 2024 and third quarter 2024. Then we will have remarks from our CEO about the financial performance and the future outlook of the company. And then we'll open the forum for the Q&A. While you're raising your questions, we will request if you can let know your name and the company you represent while you're raising. So thank you very much to everyone for your participation. So going by the agenda, here we go. The 9 months 2024 financial performance of Mega Life Sciences. So the overall revenue of Mega Life Sciences for 9 months 2024 has been at 11.6 billion, flat on a YoY basis. The good part is the Mega WeCare branded business, the pharmaceutical and the OTC business, which is where the future product pipeline of the company is growing at a healthy rate. But the top line is getting impacted by the MaxCare consumer business revenue in Myanmar, which we had already guided at the beginning of the year that there will be a decline because of the ongoing situation in Myanmar, with a very limited impact on the profitability. Going by segments, for 9 months 2024, the branded business revenue has been at 6.1 billion, reflecting a growth of 3.8%. And third quarter 2024, our branded business is growing at 6.6%. So we had provided a guidance at the beginning of the year that branded business will be growing at mid-single-digit growth rate. So the actual results are also very similar to as per the guidance. Mega, again here, the pharmaceutical and the OTC business is growing at a healthy rate. We are seeing some impact coming from a decline in sales in Nigeria because of the sudden currency depreciation. But gradually, things are improving in Nigeria as well as we compare with quarter one 2024. The distribution business for 9 months 2024 has declined at 12.1% on an adjusted basis. We have explained this earlier that there is a dual currency rate effect in Myanmar, which results in higher turnover, higher gross margin, and higher forex. So you will see a very high forex coming in our forex line of the P&L, but that is actually nothing but the adjustment towards gross margin. So on an adjusted basis, the distribution business is declining by 12.1%. Overall, the gross profits for 9 months 2024 have been at healthy at 49.6%, as against 49.45% for 9 months 2023. The overall gross margin is improving, primarily coming because of the segmental mix, because the branded business is growing at a faster rate than distribution, and branded business earns a gross margin of 65% plus. So when the branded business grows at a faster rate, in terms of segmental mix, the gross profits are better. So that's what you see in 9 months, 49.6% gross margin. The branded business gross, going by segments, the branded business gross margin is at 66% for 9 months 2024, healthy, as compared to 65.2% in 9 months 2023. Distribution business gross margins have also remained healthy at 23.6% on an adjusted basis for 9 months 2024, as against 22.4% in 9 months 2023. Overall, the SG&A for 9 months 2024 has been higher at 28.3% of the operating revenue, which is mainly on account of planned spending compared to 26.8% in 9 months 2023. The higher SG&A is because of the planned spending which we had in the first 9 months 2024. And the SG&A we expect to taper down by the year end. The adjusted net profits have been at 1.6 billion baht, as against 1.7 billion baht last year, which represents a decline of 6.5%. But mainly, this is happening because of the higher SG&A spend, the planned SG&A spend, which we did in first 9 months, which we expected to taper down by year. In terms of reported profits, our reported profits have been at 1,373 million, as against 1,519 million, decline of 9.6% YOY, which is again mainly coming because of the increased planned SG&A spending in the first 9 months. The operating cash flows has been healthy and strong at 1.6 billion, representing 117% of net profits. We continue to remain a net cash company with a strong balance sheet. On the capex front, in the first 9 months, we have spent 160 million baht, which is towards maintenance capex of our manufacturing facilities and also capacity expansion spending for our manufacturing plant in Indonesia. Going from a long-term perspective, apart from the $3 to $4 million capex which we spend every year, we will be spending around 380 million baht on enhancing manufacturing capacities in Indonesia, which we have guided at the beginning of the year as well. Coming to the third quarter 2024 performance, the overall operating revenue has been at 4 billion baht, representing a growth of 5.2%. Here again, the pharmaceutical and the OTC business of the Mega WeCare is seeing a healthy growth rate, while the MaxCare consumer business is seeing a decline. As we had guided, the branded business revenue has been at 2 billion baht, representing a growth of 6.6%. Distribution business declining on adjusted basis by 20.5%, fully attributable to the decline in the consumer business in Myanmar, as we had guided. Gross margins have remained healthy and improving because of the segmental mix. Branded business gross margins have been at 67.7% for third quarter, as against 65.3% in third quarter last year. Distribution business gross margins also on a 9 month basis have been at 23%, similar to last year. 9 months 2023, our gross margins were at 24%. SG&A cost overall has been at 27.5%, slightly tapering down from first half and will further taper down by year end. And the adjusted profits have been at 544 million, as against 526 million in third quarter last year, representing a growth of 3.5%, which is mainly coming because of the growth in branded business. The reported net profits in third quarter 2024 have been at 383 million, which is representing a decline of 28.5% YOY, which is primarily happening because of the forex loss which we have incurred in third quarter, which is because of the sudden appreciation of Thai baht to US dollar. The Thai baht to US dollar has appreciated by almost 12% in the third quarter, which has resulted in a forex loss. But on a normalized basis, our profits have improved in third quarter by 3.5%. So this is in brief the synopsis of 9 months 2024 performance and third quarter. Now I'll request our CEO, Mr. Vivek Dhawan, to provide his guidance for the performance as well as future outlook. Thank you.
Thank you, Manoj. Actually, Manoj has, whatever Manoj has said, I can confirm is all correct. He has given you all the background that I had to give. We are on the right track. As you mentioned, our branded business has grown 3.8%. And in that branded business, as you know, we always ask what's our three parts of our business, the complementary or the supplement, vitamin, herbal business we have. That's about 55%. 10% is over the counter, or we call self-medication business. And the other 35% is the pure pharma business. So the pure pharma business is growing. We have 170 products in pipeline. A lot of them are getting approval in the next 1-2 years to come. Some unique, some new, some in new areas. And we believe that the future growth, pharma will see more growth than the other just by the sheer size, number of products. But that doesn't mean that the consumer health is not growing. That's also growing. The OTC business is seeing good growth. All our product pipeline there from Lori's, Aberine, Profen, etc., all have potential. And with that also happening. And the pharma and the complementary, the supplement business is also growing. If you take away the negated business during COVID, and then start looking at the non-COVID business, there's been a reasonable good growth, and even the COVID-related products are stable and are starting to do better. Some of them, as we said, vitamin C, etc., are stable and are showing improvements over the after the if you look at 19 before that, it's even higher. Anyway, the base is higher, and even now, compared to the highest COVID peak, it's also coming back. So that's the very good sign. So looking at all that, we are very confident that our business is on the right track. And moving ahead, also 25, our guidance is still mid to high single-digit growth, both for top line and bottom line. But this is branded business. The effect is largely on the distribution business, which we have explained every time we have met you, and the facts are there. The consumer business continues to suffer in Myanmar. Pharma is stable, but growths are difficult to come out of pharma unless things change. But at the same time, we are working hard to maintain that. Burma is fluctuation. It is very difficult to predict with absolute guarantee that this will happen, but we are very confident the pharma business will remain, and we are doing reasonably well in our pharma business in Myanmar. Nigeria was a one-off. We know what happened there, and the first half was the period where all the losses were carried forward. I think second half, even though the business has declined because of the Naira going up to 1,500, which was 4,500 before, that's impacted the top line because you can't increase all the prices and it's very expensive. So it's a bit of a top line hit, but otherwise the bottom line impact and the exchange rate losses are going to go away. I won't be there now with the Naira remaining in that range with the correction that we are doing regularly. I think the model also we have changed. We are updating that regularly, not just using the bank rate. So that's how it's not going to have an impact, major impact. But also the business, we are going to go and build and starting to see changes happening in Nigeria. So that's the biggest impact in Africa. The rest is looking all right. We are doing fine. Most countries we are doing reasonably fine with our own branded business. Indonesia, I think you will have a question, so let me just preempt that a little bit. We are on track. Most of it is on track. The delays were earlier during the COVID time, but new product registrations are happening. Our pipeline for tech transfer, we are already developing products, filing new registration in the country for local manufacturing. So all that is happening. The plant construction has begun. I'm informed that maybe not later than year 2005, December, first quarter 26, we should be able to start operation of our new facility. That's the plan, unless something really goes wrong. But at the moment, our plan is 26, first quarter, we should be able to use the new facility and start production, increasing our output, being able to produce more. And then the existing facility, we'll see what we need to do with that. So that's the situation in Indonesia. And we are launching some very interesting new products. So we hope to see the next 1-2 years more growth and hopefully break even coming soon to 30 as promised. We are still looking at that $50 million to 2030 turnover. So that is still part of our strategy, and we keep evaluating the number. We have done it, so we hope to get there. So there's no major change at the moment. If there's any, we'll get back to you. That's Indonesia. Vietnam. The project has started, as mentioned to you last time. We have bought the land and we are in the process of getting all the approvals. We're doing the design work. But the details of that project, the timeline, it is a 3-4 year timeline to build, construct, get approvals and start using the facility. So nothing before 28, 29, I think, somewhere there. But again, once we are, because it's just the beginning, once we have more details, we'll also keep you updated on the Vietnam project. Meanwhile, all the other things are progressing. We are doing new registration. We are also doing many other things locally in the country and continue to invest in Vietnam. So Indonesia, Vietnam, Thailand remain our key major large potential markets. Philippines also is another market which is sizable, but we are also working on seeing how we can go and accelerate growth in Philippines as well. Africa remains, as a region, remains a potential market for us with 800 million people. And that's another area we have invested in people, in products, in registrations. And looking forward to as things improve regionally from a financial perspective and things improve around the world, Africa should start, sub-Saharan Africa should start seeing growth again. So Mega is very well entrenched there and we plan to continue our investments in Africa. So that's Generally, the background on most of it, Manoj has already told you about the profit Thai baht, sudden big change over last June to September. Reasonably, I think nearly 4 or 5 baht, so that's nearly 12-13%. That's just the book effect. Hopefully, by the end of the year, with the baht coming back, things should look normal. Should not have a very big difference as compared to 2023, as I understand.
Yeah.
Average rate was 35. I mean, hopefully, it'll probably hang around the same area. So it should be not have a very big impact on that. Distribution, we have talked about. Tunisia, we have talked about. Myanmar, we have talked about. Nothing we can do, but we are maintaining our guidance on the pharma business, and we continue to focus and build and remain strong and stay committed to Myanmar on that front. So I think from my end, there's not much more to add here. I would rather leave the forum to all of you to ask your questions, and we'll try and answer them as clearly and as appropriately at the moment. And if it's not enough, we're always available. As you know, you have our contacts, and we can get back to you with more details. So please fire your questions, and we shall do our best to answer them. Thank you so much.
Yes, Pun Thanapol, you can raise your question, please.
Please, yeah.
Hello, hi. This is Thanapol from CGSI. Maybe just two questions. The first one is on Myanmar. So actually, I've heard that the Myanmar government is now imposing somewhat stricter control on the pharma products. So I wonder if we are going to see a steeper decline in distribution revenue going into 2025. And that's the first question.
We don't know yet. I mean, the restrictions are, there are two parts to it, right? The consumer one is import licenses. So the licenses also depend on availability of US dollars that they make available. One is through what they make available, and one is what you can do through export dollars, which you have and you can find whatever else. So there are two ways to do that. So I think as long as we can raise funds for pharma and get import dollars, the partners we work with are reasonably old and are in the country for a long, long time, and the drugs are known, and it's not that they are all produced locally. So the demand is going to be there in the region wherever we are. So our belief is that there should be some solutions to be able to import. All the other restrictions have been there, applying, getting import licenses. This is not changed. I don't know of anything that's very, very new today that they have just come and said, which I'll have to again check if there is something new that you have heard. But yes, these restrictions have been there. There are applications, getting licenses every time you want to import. And you have to apply and find dollars. So this is going on. Consumer is more difficult. Pharma was a little bit more easier. But you cannot just do as much as you want or double the quantity just because other people are not in the market. So there is a rationing there. But in spite of that, I think we being a large player, we are able to manage that so far. But as I said, we'll keep you updated as and when there's new knowledge that comes into force. That's all I know at the moment. I'm really sorry. I don't know more than that, but if there's some information we have, we'll get back to you.
All right. Then on the second question, it's about your investment in Vietnam. So what's the capacity of your new factory in Vietnam going to be like compared to the site that you have in Thailand or Indonesia?
I think the sites are being built for specific reason. You know, Indonesian site was built for Indonesian market. Now, capacity in pharma is a very, unlike petroleum or other things, it is very different because you work one shift, two shift, three shift. So, and you have the same machines. And then you have 200 different SKUs, you know, different sizes. So there's no standard. Smallest tablet is 100 milligrams, and the biggest one is 1 gram. So very hard to define capacity. We are building it to do largely, I would say, oral solid doses, which is pharma, and to do products that we want to produce locally, and we have playing in the local market where there are, this is an EU, it will be an EU GMP plant. It's largely designed to be in group one. product, so we can be in the market, because there is a requirement in Vietnam that's come up, coming up now, having EU GMP made locally and being in group one to be able to compete in government tenders. So we already have that business. We are doing it there. We'll be shifting. Yes,
we are also building new capacity.
And new capacity. We have Thailand also. We have capacity. We have capacity. So if we create pharma there and we produce for Vietnam, we can take it to other markets. So this is expandable. We build modular plants. We build warehouse and we build QC capacity. And we can increase warehouse. We can increase production. So we have rooms available, we can add more machine, tableting line, drying line, granulation line, and the capacity can be doubled, right? And packaging can be doubled with blister. So it's easy to expand. Yeah, so we will do it here in Thailand. So we are doing pharma there, Indonesia, largely Indonesia. But if there are products that can go to other markets, which are also common, without affecting the Indonesian market, so there will be capacity. Like in Indonesia, we're also building a soft gel line, right? Because there's a law. We have to produce softgel there in certain number of years, product that you get approval. So though we will have capacity here, but we have to build it there. One, so we're putting one or two lines there and being ready for local manufacturing. I think what is strategically important from the view of building, and it's a law requirement that you have to do it there. While if our Thai capacity grows, it's also good for BCP. If Thai capacity grows full, we have two machines of softgel there as well, which can also supply from there. So it keeps us. We have access, we have capacity there and here. But in this business, if you lose registration, the product supplies are not there, you lose the brand in the market. So in pharma, I think capacity utilization is not so such a key, but you need to have excess capacity to respond to demand, number one. Number two, if anything happens, your regulatory approval should be in place, having one or two sources. So you have one from here, one from another source, so you can replace supplies. Because of regulatory conditions are very difficult, you know. Having a second site variation takes you a long time. I think preparedness is one, protecting your large brand is one. So there are a couple of criteria, local law, competing in the local market, and then having capacity to service that. So largely Vietnam is, if you ask me, dedicated to Vietnam, Indonesia dedicated to Indonesia, plus whatever can overflow, go to multiple markets because we're also selling that, great, we have a second option. Australia is largely our branded business coming into us, 40-50% in that way, and 50% is local market. But that also there's a demand. So similar products is supplied there, and for 40-50% coming into our own brand. But that also has a focus, powders, probiotics. That's got an area that doesn't compete with what's done in Thailand, largely. So something like that. They're all doing something different and focused on their area, specialized area. Thailand doesn't do as many drugs. Vietnam will do more drugs, pure pharma.
Okay, thanks for that. And maybe my last question, and if you can share some color on whether you're seeing different growth rates between pharma and nutraceutical products in the third quarter, and what's the split between these two segments for your branded business now? Thank you.
Pharma is number one, is seeing higher growth. As we have mentioned already, they're seeing higher growth because we've added products, we've got new product pipeline, and they come in a larger category. I mean, as I've said many times, the pharma and consumer business is maybe 10 to 1, 6 to 8, 6 to 1 in that ratio. So the size is also far bigger, and the categories we are playing are also bigger. So pharma will definitely see growth, and as Even consumer growth, pharma will grow faster and the ratios will change, you know, very slowly, 50-50. Next 3-4 years, probably will go somewhere there. So both are growing. Pharma is growing fast, and in the consumer health, the self-med section, the self-medication section is growing faster. The nutraceutical sector, because the decline in COVID happened, was very high. Now those are stable, but others are growing faster. So the other than the COVID products have grown faster, but if you balance it out, you look at Nutra slower than overall. So that's probably the slowest growth compared to the other two. But if we take out the COVID-related products and then look at the other, it's also doing very well because all other products are also growing. Many products in the category are still growing. So there is it depends how we look at it, because we took a 23, 24, 25% growth for 2 years, 26% growth for 2-3 years in that category. And then the COVID product dropped. So in spite of that, there is growth in, even in the purely nutraceutical, if you call them nutraceutical, the supplement business is also growth, but lower growth. The highest growth is pharma, second is OTC, and the third is the consumer health.
23 base was also very high.
So 23 base was very high. I hope this clarifies your question.
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions from anyone? You can send the questions in chat as well.
All right. If there are no more questions for the day, and if there are questions in the chat, any none, then we can answer on the chat. Otherwise, just wait for a minute or so. If you don't have any, we'll thank you once again for joining our call and being with us and supporting our plans. So once again, wish you a good evening, and we will... Sorry, carry on. Yes, please.
Yes, this is Varash from Kasikorn. I just have one question. Just want to ask about, like, how confident are you in, like, maintaining your business in Myanmar, given the situations, like, the tightened in the requirement of import?
Well, it's a very good question and a very difficult question. How confident I am? I want to be 100% confident that our pharma business can remain where it is. No growth can happen, very difficult to grow. As long as it remains flat, as long as we cut our cost and remain bare and thin, as long as our margins can be protected or improved, so we can still deliver on the bottom line. So we are expecting Vietnam to show phenomenal growth. If you came to us 4 years ago, we'd say Vietnam will grow 25%, Myanmar will grow, because we had all those plans in place, you know, consumer distribution, pharma, and we were going to do it. But now the plan is that the pharma business that gives majority of our profitability, that profitability can be maintained from Myanmar. That's what we are saying now, right? I think that's our communication. That's the genuine hope. In spite of consumer business dropping, which was not a major contributor to the profit, there was some. We don't expect the profit loss to be major out of Vietnam coming out of pharma business. That's what we are planning. That's where we are looking at. And our hope based on last year before during this conflict is that this can continue. Till things change. There are changes that will happen in the economy, in the environment, then things can even get better. So that's where we are all coming from. Our structure, our design, our plan is all focused on maintaining profitability from Myanmar and continuing that way till such time things happen. Now, if anything goes wrong, today it has happened. We know the 9 months have been all right. Have been good on track, and we should be able to close the year correctly. And we are hoping this will continue next year as well. If anything comes which are adverse to this, we will come back to you. While we are also growing our business in other markets, Thailand, Vietnam, other places, Indonesia, so all this is also adding on. And the growth that we are saying, bottom line growth that's going to come, is going to come from other places. So we cannot expect a lot of bottom line growth from Myanmar, right? That's what we are saying. But we are still holding on to our promise that we had promised that our 1.2 will become 2.3, 2.4 billion baht. We are still holding on to that to deliver next year. That was our 25 plan. I mean, we are very close to it already in 22, 23, but that was an upside because of COVID. But as per plan, we were to go there. We had included Burma, but we are still saying, yes, we'll get very close to what we had promised, or what we had actually strategically planned. Let's put it that way. Now, if there's a plus minus a little bit here possible, but that's still part of our plan. Hasn't changed for 25. Our budget and all these plans are still showing that we'll be close to the number we had projected 4 years ago to you. I don't know if this clarifies your question.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Absolutely. Thank you so much for expressing confidence. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a question in chat. Any competition expected from Chinese pharma or supplement companies in markets where we are operating in ASEAN or Africa?
Chinese companies are there. I mean, they are now actively going out, I must say that. But their Chinese company, actually, Swiss Vitamins is owned by a Chinese company, if you know that. I mean, you all probably know Swiss, the Australian big brand is owned by Chinese. And there are many of them who are around. So for them to come here and compete and build a brand is an effort. It takes time. Pharma, they have products. They are already in the market in some areas. They are already playing, they're supplying. They enjoy a very good margin and business in their own country. If you look at, go to any of the Chinese stock market and see Shanghai Pharmaceutical and see their numbers and bottom line, they are phenomenal. When you come and play in Asia and these markets, the margins are very different. It's a tough area to come register and operate in a very small segment in each category and to be a very small player in multiple countries. I think it's a bit challenging. So they are looking at, I think the way they operate is to find partners who represent their products and add it to their line, which is already happening. So I don't see a major impact that they're going to come and build brands here in this particular area and take a very serious look at them. I haven't seen that yet. Phones, yes. I mean, half of Africa is run by one company that's nearly become African. They are not even big in China. They're number one on all over Africa. So those are areas where they have a lot of strength and they're doing a great job. But I think pharma, to my mind, it is not going to be as... There's already a lot of competition. Even Chinese will have to compete with, which is not easy. And to come and play in that market and become even cheaper is probably difficult. That's what my feeling is. So I don't see it as a big worry. I mean, that's my reason why I think it's not going to be a big worry, but then there are always exceptions.
Any other questions from anyone?
Nothing in the chat.
We had one.
All right. I would like to say thank you once again, gentlemen, ladies, all our wonderful people. Thank you so much and see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tapunka, Padika, Padika, Tapunka.
Thank you.
Thank you.